This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
I realized that if I start having that feeling, then I'm the one who can be proactive and be empowered to make a change. So rather than lying in bed feeling like I'm a terrible mom and thinking, oh, my kids, oh, I'm gonna have to start saving for all the therapy for them. Instead, I'd be like, hey, I don't feel like I'm paying enough attention to this one, or I feel like this one's having a few extra needs right now. So then I look at my calendar and guess what? I make a shift. I say no to a certain event I get invited to. I say no to a podcast. I say no to a deadline. I ask for an extension. I pay better attention to my boundaries at work.
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by the lovely Bree Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
I love this episode today, Bree, because we really dig into guilt and how our guest doesn't let it affect her, which I find fascinating.
I think that it was a very fantastic conversation about boundaries, expectations, and the benefit of having your kids back to back to back to back.
Yeah, back to, which would be exhausting, honestly. And hey, before we get into today's episode, can you do us a favor? Can you go review us on Apple Podcasts? It really helps us get the word out about No Guilt Mom. And every time we see a review, it just lights our faces on fire. That's not the best image, but you get the idea.
Lights up our smile. I don't know, but it's very heartwarming and it's great to hear what you guys think of the podcast. And it helps us as well coming up with our content. Coming forward.
Yeah, and you could even say Joanne mixes metaphors and she needs to stop. If that's in your review.
Mixes metaphor. Well, I was going to say like
and then lights your face on fire. That's how it goes.
Faces on fire.
Yeah, it's not the best.
And Brianna needs to stop singing so close to the mic. No. Those are the things.
Well, without further ado, we want to introduce you to Julie Cole, who you will know because she's the co-founder of Mabel's Labels. She's the award-winning author of Like a Mother, Birthing Businesses, Babies, and a Life Beyond Labels, an entrepreneur, media personality, and mom of six, which we get into in this interview. So if you have trouble setting boundaries, if you're trying to work and you have all the mom guilt coming at you from your kids being like, Mom, why don't you stop working? Why are you always working? This is the episode for you. So we hope you enjoy our interview with Julie.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
It's how it goes. It's how it goes. alpacas. Welcome, Julie, to the No Guilt Mom podcast. Like, when I first met you a few years ago, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's the lady who created Mabel's Labels. Because Mabel's Labels was like on everything for my daughter. I mean, she's 15 years old now. Everything. I remember distinctly the little pink label on her lunchbox with the heart and like the writing. And so you're an icon, Julie. Welcome to the podcast.
I love it. I appreciate you being a customer. And yeah, I mean, meeting you and a bunch of the crew there at Mom 2.0 years ago, it's just been an amazing ride over the last 21 years with Mabel's Labels. And now it's wild too, because some of our OG customers are actually like, they were, you know, if our original customer was 8 years old, now we're making labels for their babies. Like, it's wild.
Right?
It's wild. Yeah.
I was telling Joanne before we started this episode, I was like, I told my husband who works, we both worked in early childhood home visitation, family resource center type settings. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're interviewing Mabel's Labels today. And he's like, who's that? And I was just so heartbroken. I'm like, you're not a very good home visitor if you weren't giving out this resource to people. Like, I've been doing this since 2002, and it was a resource I told every mom about. And Joanne's like, it's a mom
thing. You
know
what? It is, Joanne's right. It is the mom thing. Although I am shocked now, I think dads are getting more involved in that home life and the parenting and taking a little bit more of a role. And I am surprised how many dads now are like, oh my gosh, Julie, you're Mabel's Labels. I'm like, wow, 20 years ago, that never happened. So it's a nice little change of pace.
I was thinking about this and like, why don't dads like know about these things? And if you think about it as a mom, like the social media we follow, and it's mostly moms sharing with other moms about cool things they found. And if dads don't have the same connections as that, they're never going to be exposed to those things.
I think it's twofold. I think, yeah, absolutely. Word of mom. I mean, you got to remember, Mabel's Labels started 21 years ago. There was no social media. Like, we relied heavily on word of mouth. And that was moms talking about us at the daycare drop off the side of the soccer field at preschool, whatever. And then once social media hit, man, we were all over the mom blogs. And, you know, moms were owning Facebook and the mom blogs. And now, obviously, Instagram and TikTok. And the moms have just really been in this space. And moms, the way we make purchasing decisions is that we trust other moms. Mm-hmm. Thus why influence marketing is so huge right now, because we don't trust nameless, faceless brands. We have to get referrals, and that's how we buy things. So I think that's the first reason. And the second reason is that moms do still make the purchasing decisions for families, and moms still are carrying the domestic load in families. Totally. So we still have a lot of work to do. The moms are still default parenting. We're still the ones who are booking all the appointments and teacher meetings and I'll take the dog to the vet. Like, we are still doing all that stuff that doesn't really go with mothering, but somehow has been, you know, dropped on us. And buying labels and making sure our kids are organized falls into that.
Yeah. I want to dig a little bit into you starting a business and raising a family, because you have five kids, four kids?
Six kids.
Yeah. And what are their age ranges?
Oh, well, it's gotten easy now because they're big. Yeah, like, I have, one's turning 15 next month and he's my baby.
Oh.
And I think he is a baby, came to Mom 2.0 actually. So Finian is 15, and then 17, 18, 21, 20, just gone 23 and 24.
Wow.
Did you just decide you were just going to just go through the whole thing at once?
You know what? I did. I'm a big fan of packing them in tight. And I can see it was very busy for me in those early days in the basement making labels and also raising a bunch of small humans. Like, I had my fifth kid when my oldest was six, right?
Yeah.
So I did pack them in tight, and I had six C-sections. So there was that as well.
Oh my God, girl.
Some recovery stuff. Yeah. But you know what? Like, they really are just like the best of friends, and like, they really self-maintain, and like, they are when COVID happened and I had kids get sent home from college because residents shut. And my kids were all like putting together D&D games together. They're all in the pool together, having movie nights, playing euchre, Monopoly. I was like, they're still socialized.
See, that's awesome.
I created friends for them.
Yes, built-in friends.
That's such an awesome thing.
I was like, finally, here's why I had the six of them. COVID.
As opposed to them poking each other. Mom, he's breathing on me. Mom, she's touching my snack.
Oh, there was a lot of that. There was a lot of that too, believe you me.
Yeah, but starting a business, especially with kids at home, like it's rough. It's tough, especially when a lot of the domestic load is dumped on moms and the moms are at home. I always get mad at those questions asked of moms, like, how do you do it all? Because dads are never asked that question. But at the same time, a lot of times in the home, dads are set up with kind of, I call it the luxury of leaving home to like go to outside work. What did it look like when you were starting the business? Were you the one home and was your partner at work or what is that?
So a couple of things I do want to mention because you really make a good point around the double standards. Mm-hmm. And I know I would ask Daddy-O when he would go and like to an event for work. He has a big job. And I'd say, oh, what do you say when people ask you who's taking care of the kids? Yeah. And he's like, well, oh, no one's ever asked me that. And I said, weird, because nobody's ever not asked me that when I'm speaking at an event.
Exactly.
Right? So that's that. Yeah. How did I manage that mother load in the early days? Look, it was tough. I'm going to be honest. I didn't sleep a lot. And I think people tend to romanticize entrepreneurship. They think it's all like book deals and speaking engagements mm-hmm. and TED Talks and things like that. And sometimes that stuff happens after you're in line for 20 years. Those early days were like putting kids to bed, going into my sister's basement because I have three co-founders, making labels till 2 a.m., getting up with kids at 6 a.m. and then doing the do again. And it's not all putting kids to bed and pouring a glass of wine and watching Netflix. Like gosh, you really have to understand, right?
Yeah.
There's just none of that. And I have to be honest, like for me, we started Mabel's Labels for two reasons. One was that there was a product missing from the market, so we filled a gap. And the other was that my eldest child got diagnosed with autism. And I'm a recovered lawyer. I wanted to leave the traditional workforce to have a little more flexibility. But I needed Daddy-O to make sure that he was pulling in a good salary because we had a lot of expenses because I insisted on paying for a lot of therapy for my son. Mm-hmm. For me, what I did was, yes, I was working really hard on the business and I was working hard with the kids. But at the same time, it was really important to me that Daddy-O actually had a good night's sleep and could go in to work every day because he was a bit of the cash cow at the time. Remember, I was starting a business. I wasn't bringing in money mm-hmm. and somebody had to. And so I actually didn't mind making the sacrifice of getting, I remember one time he woke up and he's like, how was your sleep? I didn't notice you had met. I'm like, yeah, five pukers. He's like, oh my God. I'm like, I know, go to work. The last thing I need you to do is like miss work, not get a promotion, not get your bonus. You know, so I think we all had our roles. Mm-hmm. How endeavor, it's not sustainable for a lot of people. And it was silly of me that I waited until my fifth kid was one until I got a nanny. Three kids too late. I definitely think you've got to really ask for help. You need to manage expectations. And I think that was part of it, you know, was for me, I really did not mind carrying that and being the caregiver and carrying the load in that because I really knew that if I were going to the family had to be sustained financially. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to go and drop out of a law career to start a label company in the basement, well, we have mouths to feed as well. So you know what? It's a partnership like any, and you manage expectations. You have great communication about, you know, who's going to do what. And I think that is an important thing to do because when you go to start a business, you need to make sure your family's on board and what it's going to look like. Otherwise, they will be sorely shocked.
I have so many questions to ask about that in terms of like the inner thought process and any guilt you might have felt. And we're going to get into that right after this. Hey, all. It is Joanne.
And Brie here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explains, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode, and all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. Or just click on the link in our show notes.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's interesting. You saw a need and you wanted to explore that and you wanted to go for it. And I find that really admirable to like have such trust in your decision that you're like, I'm just going to quit a law career and we're going to do this. What gave you that confidence, Julie? What did you see in it?
Well, look, a couple of things. So a lot of it too was that I was very invested in my son's progress. So that leaving the traditional workforce didn't feel like such a leap because I knew I had done my research that his best outcomes would depend on how much early intervention I was able to provide. You guys are moms, you get it. Like it's a no-brainer. And I do also want to say, and I would like to acknowledge a bit of privilege here because I'm brave and all that jazz, but I did also have a spouse who had a good salary. And I did also have a law career and a master's degree and other things that I could fall back on. And I had people who supported me. I was raised by people who believed me and told me I could do everything. And that actually is privilege. Mm. So I do like to acknowledge that because there's a lot of women out there who are starting businesses. They're single moms, with two kids. They're already working two jobs and they've got a side hustle. To me, those are the real heroes.
Oh, yeah. Like I see that as well because I acknowledge the privilege that I have in my life to pursue this career because I too have a spouse who has a good job and who brings in the money for the family so that if like the company, like No Guilt Mom, falters or has a downturn or anything, we can put the resources in and get right back up to where we are before.
Exactly. And we know what entrepreneurship can be. Mm-hmm. Like having a business is often feast or famine. Yeah. So it's kind of nice to have a little somebody with some stability, especially in those early days.
The stability is good. Did you ever feel guilt from your children in terms of the amount of hours that you put in or the work? And not that the kids necessarily intentionally cause guilt, but like how right. would you deal with comments like, Mom, stop working. Mom, coming over and like play with us.
You work all the time. I don't get to see you. Yeah, those kind of things.
So there's a couple of things. I gave up mom guilt about 4 or 5 kids ago. I just don't find it very proactive.
Was there a place where you were able to go drop it off at? Was there like a collection?
Pretty much. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'll let you know. Yeah. I'll let y'all know. Your listeners need to know.
That's a new business. Well, hey, that's No Guilt Mom.
That's right. You guys got that going on. And I think it's because I realize that if I start having that feeling, then I'm the one who can be proactive and be empowered to make a change. So rather than lying in bed feeling like I'm a terrible mom and thinking, oh, my kids, oh, I'm going to have to start saving for all the therapy for them. Instead, I'd be like, hey, I don't feel like I'm paying enough attention to this one, or I feel like this one's having a few extra needs right now. So then I look at my calendar and guess what? I make a shift. I say no to a certain event I get invited to. I say no to a podcast. I say no to a deadline. I ask for an extension. I pay better attention to my boundaries at work, and same the other way. So, you know, I feel like also my kids having been raised in this environment, again, I think it's been come down to managing expectations. So remember when we started our company, my 24-year-old, my 23-year-old, my 20, they didn't know a mom who had a phone in those early days because we didn't have phones. And I will tell you that once we had cell phones, it actually provided me with a lot of freedom because it meant I didn't have to be at work all the time. It didn't mean I was, so I would tell them, like, if I was going to watch one of them do a sport, I'd say, look, I'm going to go on my phone because I have to do one phone call and I have to do one email. And then that's what I'd stick to. So if they looked up and I was on my phone, that's what I would do. And they realized that me having the phone meant that I could actually be at the sports event, or I could go to with the kindergarten class, the apple orchard. So it did provide me with some flexibility. Although all that has to be managed, and I think we all have had that guilt creep in when we're like, we're on our phones too much. But come on, again, that's in our power to put some boundaries around that, and we just need to do it.
Yeah, it's all about the feeling, and it's all about how you're feeling about the activity. And you can take other people's feelings into account, but they don't necessarily drive your actions. So like the whole cell phone thing, I view my cell phone also as a great device. And there are some times where I notice work creeps in and starts stressing me out on the cell phone, and that's where I'm like, oh, throwing this across the room because that's not right. Making me feel good right now.
Right.
It's really like just choices, and there's no cut and dry answer. That's why it gets me so mad when like people are like, mom, stay off your phones. I'm like, dude, stop. Just stop.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because sometimes but it is around, again, like the managing expectations. Mm-hmm. Let them know what to expect. Okay, you know, and maybe our family, and I do try to role model it. It's like, you know, no phones go to the table, or no phones go when we're having family meetings, or no phone, just like at work. Like we don't bring our phones into the boardroom when we're having a meeting. There are certain times, and I think role modeling healthy phone use is really important to our kids, right?
Yeah. And especially devices are used everywhere in our lives right now. And it's not just a simple matter of you're on your device, it's bad, but it's this talking of it. Like I can give you an example from yesterday. Me and my kids, we always talk about mental health and screens because, you know, there's a connection there about not being connected with people in real life, not experiencing mm-hmm. the outdoors, getting that vitamin D, that's so forth. And so we're always talking about that, but it's always under my kids' ability to actually put down the screens. I don't necessarily enforce screen time stuff. They're the ones who come to me and they're like, mom, I'm feeling really bad. I need you to put the lockdown on my device. Like, to put some limits on there. And I'm like, cool, this is exactly what I want from you.
That's amazing self-regulation. That is really good self-regulation.
That's years of talking about it. Well, that's also like you're
because of the years of talking about it and because of the way that you guys are talking about modeling it, they are now going to be able to go away, leave your home, and not need you to be the one that takes care of all of it for them. They're going to understand what they can do. They're going to, even if it turns into calling you from college, mom, I'm feeling bad about my screen time. Wasn't there something you used to do? What is that? Like, it's at least teaching them how to be able to be aware of that and moving forward, which isn't that like our whole goal as moms?
That's our whole goal.
And it's also, I think, to your point, like they're like, oh, this isn't making me feel good at the moment. And I think that's the whole thing with mom guilt too. Yes, I say if you start, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a bad thing if you let it like perseverate on your brain and it doesn't. But if you're like, okay, let that feeling sneaking in, now what can I do? Let's use this proactively to make a positive change for my work, for my family, for myself. Mm. Then that's okay. It's just a feeling like any other. But yeah, you can't let that rule your life and be like, I'm a terrible mother. That's just useless.
That's so interesting.
And where's the dad guilt, right? Where's the dad guilt?
But it's so interesting seeing it like that, like switching mom guilt around to be like, okay, it's a feeling that tells you that maybe you're not happy about something and you want to change something. And it's time to really dig in and figure out what that is. I know once a month, and it's always like corresponds with my cycle, I get this horrible mom guilt feeling, the shame, this I'm a horrible mother. It lasts for a day. And like yesterday I was feeling it and I'm like, okay, what day is it? Okay, this is the day.
All makes sense now.
This is the day I need to go take care of myself and rest and give myself some self-compassion, whereas nothing really needs to change. It's just that I am needing a lot more care and love right now. And seeing mom guilt like
that's great. That's great self-awareness. I also think it's really important for us in this time to realize, I think a lot of the mom guilt creeps in because we see what we think other people are doing on social media. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, look at that influencer. Why are her kids always clean? Why aren't her kids eating Kraft dinner 3 times a week? They are. She's just not posting about it. Mm-hmm. So I always try to remind other moms that, you know, remember, it's the highlight reel, man. Like, you're just seeing what, and if you need to curate your list. If you're following people that make you feel not well or let that mom guilt, unfollow, mm-hmm. unfollow. Curate a list that's good for your mental health.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I know that throughout the years, Julie, I bet you've learned a lot of lessons about entrepreneurship and motherhood. And I want to hear them right after this.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of 2, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
So, Julie, over the years, you have probably learned some ways to balance this entrepreneurship, running your own company, along with being there for your kids and being involved. What would you say to a mom who's struggling right now, balancing the workload versus the family?
Yeah, I'd say you need to say no a lot more to people, to your kids and at work. I'll give a few examples of what I do. I was actually just telling somebody about this yesterday because it's just real. If my kid came home from school today and said, Mom, I need 24 cupcakes for tomorrow, I would laugh.
Me too.
Are you new here? Have we just met? Never going to happen. In fact, they would know never to ask. Around here, my mantra is, your lack of planning does not constitute my emergency.
Bree says that. Yes.
Coworker that would say that to me all the time because she would be like, Bree, you got to stop putting everybody else's problems as a priority for you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, those sorts of things, it's just a natural consequence. Like I'm actually not going to make the cupcakes at all, but I'll pay a baker to do it and they'll pay me to make their labels. Everybody stay in their lane, yeah. Do what you're good at. But I say no to them about a lot of things and things like, you know, if they forgot their lunch at home, like I wouldn't bring it to them mm-hmm. because nobody's had scurvy yet. They're fine. They can find a brother with an apple. And the thing is that I would spend my life not being productive, but chasing 6 kids around for forgotten items. So to me, it's not a punishment. It's a natural consequence. I'll be like, oh, dude, that is such a drag. Let's work out a little, maybe I can do a visual for you in the mornings to double check that everything's in your backpack. Mm-hmm. So I'll help them and I'll feel sorry mm-hmm. for them, but I'm not going to save them.
Yeah.
So if they forget their gym clothes, they sit out on the bench. If they forget their homework, maybe they stay in at recess and do it again. If they forget their project, they get a B instead of an A. That's life, man. That's how that goes. So I find that when I protect and treat myself with the respect around productivity, so do they. And again, they don't see it as punishment. They're just like, yeah, it's a drag. That's what happens, right?
Yeah.
So saying no to them and also including them in things like moms always have these big to-do lists. What's your do not do list? Maybe you don't have to make dinner every night. Mm-hmm. Maybe a 13-year-old can make dinner. Maybe your 6-year-old can unstack the dishwasher. There's a lot that these kids can be doing to pitch in. You don't have to do all the things. And I'm very similar at work. I've got boundaries. Of course, I'm always there to help, but give me a little bit of notification so I can book you in so I don't spend all my time getting interrupted. And, you know, I think that's true for even events. When I get asked to speak events or go to brand things or whatever, I actually have a 10-point checklist before I say yes to something.
Oh.
And yeah, I do.
That's amazing. What are a few things on that checklist? I'm curious.
So it would be like, is the event or is where I'm going, what I'm doing, are there people in the audience that are worth connecting for my business? Are there people there who have communities that can bring Mabel's Labels to their business? Are there people there who are possibly going to do a great collab with their baby product and my baby product? There may be non-compete, but same market. I have all sorts of things like that. And I will tell you at this age and stage, my number one question, do I want to?
Oh, yeah. Is it a hell yes? Joanne tells me that all the time.
Is it a hell yes? It's a hell no if it's not a hell yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So sometimes we have to do that as well because we have to value our time.
Oh, I love all this, Julie. And I think you have really reinforced the need for me for boundaries. I've gotten so much better over the years because I like to call myself a recovering people pleaser. But just like how much we can still grow and improve and say no, especially to our kids, because you're right. Like the more you save them, the less they learn the natural consequences of things.
And the thing too, like I feel like a lot of my no's are really more about boundaries. Like mm-hmm. I get people all the time, Julie, can I take you for a coffee to pick your brain and talk about, I've got a business idea. And, you know, I remember at one point being like, I don't have time to go for so much coffees. I need to be like raising humans and making labels. So instead, what I did is I set up like a half day every 6 or 8 weeks and people can book me for 40-minute sessions. And then I feel like I'm giving back, which I love because yeah. I love to share and I love hearing what new entrepreneurs are doing and what their thoughts. I don't want everybody reinventing the wheel. If I can make the journey easier for somebody, I will. But if they can't make it, I won't say, oh, it's okay. I'll see you the next day. I'll say you can book me in the next 6-week session.
That yeah. is genius.
I like that a lot.
It's not actually a no. Yeah. It's a boundary, right? Boundary. I'm still helping, but I'm still getting my stuff done.
Because you know what? You're not making their lack of planning a priority for you.
You're my emergency. Exactly.
Exactly. Well, Julie, thank you so much for coming here and sharing all of your wisdom. Where can people go and find you?
So, of course, they can check out Mabel's Labels at mabelslabels.com. And if you want to hear about me or order my book or read my stuff or see me in media, you can go to mabelslabels.com/Julie Cole.
Awesome. Well, we will talk to you later and definitely see you in a few weeks.
Thanks for having me.
Let the universe come to you, Brie. We were just talking before we got on this outro. Brie had something really great to say about this episode, and then it just left.
I did. And it like, and then I was pointing out other things. Like I loved how she talked about what's on your do not do list. And oh, I remembered. It came back.
You trusted in the universe. There you go.
See, okay. So this is just for people listening. This is like the ADHD brain in real life. This is what it's like working with Brie all the time.
It sounds like working with me. I understand the ADHD. Sometimes I'm like, Brie, it's time to go on. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, I can do it. I got it. So no, one thing we talked about a lot is about the mom guilt, right? And about how much it really does tear you apart when your kids are like, Mom, you work all the time. You're always on your computer. Yeah. You're always on your phone. And
I hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right? But here's the thing that I think about a lot with it. And maybe it's because of the way that my family dynamic is. But if that's all that they know, if that's all that they've ever seen, then yeah, I could see that is their perspective, that mom's always on her phone. She's always working this, that, and the other, always got 15 things going on. What they don't realize, because they haven't had the other experience of a parent that can't leave work, can't mm-hmm. come to school, can't come to your recital, can't bring the lunchbox, can't volunteer for the field trip. Like all of those things that And I don't mean it in a bad way, people. I'm just trying to articulate that, like, all those things that they take for granted because they don't know the life without it.
Yeah. I know. I agree with you. It's
right?
It's this Same way I see with my kids who get mad at us for quote unquote yelling at them. Yelling at them in our house is like, I'm really unhappy this happened right now. That's our yelling. That's what they refer to as yelling. And it took a while, and it took like being actually some of their teachers explained, showed them exactly what yelling was. And they're like, Mom, yeah. Like, this is not cool. Like, that person's crazy. I'm like, they are crazy. You're right. That's yelling over there. This is sane person expressing their emotions of displeasure.
Yep. Like we have
very different.
We have that conversation in our house all the time. And I do think it's funny because I wouldn't even call myself a recovering yeller. I tend to raise my voice a lot. I get very, very impassioned about things. And you know that, like, my emotions are real big. A part of, I think, being loud in my case is having been the youngest of five. Like, I had to be loud to be heard in my household. And that just always stayed with me. Now, my husband, Miguel, is very soft-spoken. You know this. So if that man mm-hmm. even remotely raises his voice, I will even be like, whoa, 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 what's going on here? Why are you so upset? He'll be like, I'm not upset. You asked me to repeat the same thing three times. So I'm just trying to articulate and to raise my voice because I don't think you could hear the volume. Did I misread the cues? He does get frustrated because like his son, my kids, me, like we all will immediately be like, whoa, 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 why are you yelling? All he's doing is slightly increasing his volume and slowing down his speech.
Poor Miguel. always Miguel. No, I say right? that in a fine way. Miguel dishes it out as well. It's fine. Miguel's fine. He's doing fine over there.
But I can understand because like, yeah, like it he'll say like how his kids, like growing up, his son would be like, why are you yelling? And he's like, I don't think I'm yelling. And then he's like,
it's all about perspective.
Yeah, reflecting back on his life and his family with five siblings. Yeah, that's not yelling.
No, but I agree with you on the mom guilt and stuff when kids say those things because they're only seeing what they see maybe in sitcoms or because we really don't have that much of an insight into people's homes. Like they're real homes. We see if there's influencers on YouTube, especially a lot of the teen influencers my daughter watches, you see this kind of fake version where everyone's happy and everyone's lovely because the camera is going and it's not real life. It's not like how people actually interact with each other. And that's something to keep in mind during this guilt. I do love all of Julie's boundaries and saying no and stuff because I feel like I am very easily pulled into other people's problems and I immediately want to help and fix it and solve it. And that causes me so much more stress.
Okay. And I'm going to open the curtain here a little bit for listeners. So people that have been listening to us for a long time know that we have known each other for a long time. We met when our daughters were in kindergarten. So we are legitimately friends. But that boundary gets funky when we're working sometimes because I'll be like, we'll be talking about work, right? And I'll start telling you about my personal life and da-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden we're off on this other tangent. And it's hard when you have relationships with people that are multifaceted in different ways.
It is. So
I feel like I suck you in sometimes too.
No, but it's also like really rewarding. I wouldn't have it any other way because you see these things about, oh yeah, it's so hard to work with my friend. And I think those are people who have not gone through the hard. Like they quit when it got hard instead of actually going through the hard. Because when you go through the hard, like you and I think we have a much like stronger like lean on relationship than we did before we worked on each other.
You're my sister now. So there you go.
Yeah. And I think it's with anything like you go through the hard with people instead of quitting and you see like there's a lot more wonderfulness on the other side of it. Right. There's a lot more wonderfulness on this other side of struggle. So I just have to say that. And what helps is listening to other people go through it. So that's why we're so open about it with us, Bree. I love listening to Armchair Expert with Dax and Monica because they will talk about fights they had and how they got through it. And
yeah, did you say like they had one where they weren't talking to each other for a while?
For like a month. And they're still doing their show. Yeah, and you like it's just how human beings work and there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with conflict. I grew up in a house with very little conflict. And so I was very conflict adverse, not realizing that actually conflict is the way you don't have those feelings inside of you where you just become resentful and angry and mad at everyone because you won't talk to them about things. That's why there's no conflict because nothing's talked about.
I just saw like a TikTok where there was like a comedian that was talking about that. She was like, yeah, my friend I was like, don't you ever have fights with your husband? And she's like, yeah, sure, I do all the time. Like just yesterday we had one and he said this. And I went, okay, so you see, when you say that, I feel like what I'm hearing from you is that you were saying this about me. And then the husband was like, oh, no, no, that's not what I meant at all. And the comedian's like, yeah, that's not how a fight goes on in my house. My house, exact same situation. I'd be like, oh, so I'm a crappy wife now? Well, why'd you marry me? Well, why am I here even? And then this huge fight starts. So it's all about talking about it.
It's so funny because I just visited my cousin in Portland over the weekend, and I haven't seen him for a while, but we're really close in age, like 2 years, and him and his sister, who is 3 years younger than him, and then my sister, we were like a group of four growing up. Like it was always great seeing them because we just all played together. And because of our age differences, I actually played with my little sister who's 7 years younger because they filled in the gaps. So it was like four siblings. Anyways, we growing up together with the same childhood, we started talking about all these things we were seeing and things going on with our family. And we have quite the family secret going on.
I can't wait to have a conversation post recording on this one.
There's a family secret. It's not like secret. It's like there was some drama. There was some drama in our family, and we don't know the causes of the drama, but we saw it growing up, a lot of it. And I won't divulge it here. Maybe I need to write a work of fiction. I'll write a work of fiction with some characters and like divulge it in there with characters. But and then my mom would be like, Joanne! No, but a lot of stuff came out, and we were actually like, my husband prepared us all old fashions, and we had 2 old fashions that night. So there was a lot of stuff.
I was going to say that's when the good conversations come out. Yeah.
And we had fun. It was good. It was cleansing. It was so funny because we were like calling my mom, and I'm like, Mom. And I had her on speaker. Mom, is this true? And like, she's like, who told you that?
Oh, I'm like, Mom,
why didn't you ever tell me this? And my mom's like, who, me? I'm like, Mother, just tell me if it's true. And she's like, yes. I'm like, okay, thank you. I love you. I'll see you this weekend. Bye-bye. And then we were like calling my sister on speakerphone. And we were getting her into it.
Oh my God, I have the best juicy news.
Yeah, yes. It was fun. It was fun. But it's all about talking with each other and getting those things out because things were weird. And we had no idea how weird they were.
So, that's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so hopefully this episode and the other thing too that I didn't even mention, I don't think, was that like I was like so upset with my husband because he didn't know who Maple's Labels were, which then started a whole secondary conversation about how it's a mom's thing. Moms worry about that kind of stuff. And as someone else who was also in childcare for some time too, I very much appreciate Julie's work with Maple's Labels. It helped us out so much over the years.
Yes.
It's fantastic. But yeah, hopefully you loved this episode as much as we did.
And go review us.
Yes. And you're going to go review us. Yeah, you heard us in the beginning.
Share it with all of your friends. Help us get No Guilt Mom podcast out into the world, because the more guilt we take away from women, the more powerful women can be. So remember, the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you. And we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.